Focus on the savvy side of 9 to 5 with the Focus Group.
Try, really try.
Listen, laugh, and learn with Tim and John.
I never try anything. I just do it.
John Nash here, along with my good friend and co-host Tim Bennett. We are the Focus Group. Find us every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. East with our Sunday replay at 6. The show also repeats today, Saturday from 4 to 6, and on Tuesdays and Wednesdays from 2 to 3, although I think for the next 2 weeks it's just going to be Wednesdays because the AAA girls are running their special on Tuesdays. FocusGroupRadio.com is your destination for all things Focus Group, including the ability to sign up for the Focus Group Radio socks. Our Facebook page is Focus Group Radio. Tim likes to say, like us there. And Tim, we've crossed the 2,000.
I saw that.
Yeah. Let's go to 5.
I know. We don't push it as much. Well, of course, we're only on once a week, so it makes it difficult for us to really
and we want
crank
we
those
want
things
people
up,
to really like us to like us because they're liking us, right?
Yeah.
So, all right. So, and I wanted to announce also that the Casual Friday Season 2 podcast is arriving Labor Day-ish. These things take longer than, you know, Barry, these things take longer than you think they do.
What, the podcast?
Well, you knew that it would take longer than we thought it would. But
you think the podcast would?
Yeah, because it's rehearsals and it's a very special. I know, I got to take that back. Whenever someone used to say very special on TV, they meant it was something happening like on All in the Family. It was a very special All in the Family.
Was this a special thing?
Podcast, well, Tim, you're... listeners, when the podcast comes out, you're going to get to hear Tim do multiple voices, the whole bit.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fun.
It's going to be very fun.
We're going to have a good time.
All right. Let's see. We got everybody. We're getting situated in studio. We got Jim. We got Mike over on my left. But people don't know my right and my left. And so,
welcome our guest, John.
All right. But let's get Jim's headphones set up here, right? One of those things is this side here. You can hear? Okay. All right. As long as you could hear, that's fine. All right. Hey, as we mentioned in the last hour, we're welcoming to the studio Jim Werner and Mike Sheridan, co-owners and co-founders of Fagabond.com. And it is a really cool travel site that I think you should check out. So it's Fagabond, and we do use the word fag, right?
Yeah, we
F-A-G.
Do.
Yes, we don't shy away.
We do not shy away. So it's Fagabond.com. All right, so let's get voices set up. Let's say hello to Jim Werner.
Hello. Hello out there, Sirius.
That's Jim. And let's say hello to Mike.
Hey, how you doing, everybody?
And that's Mike Sheridan, and I'm John. And
two Philadelphia accents.
Yes.
I don't hear the any accents. I don't think I hear
it.
I hear it right away.
I mean, we're both Philadelphia born and raised, but I don't hear the accent.
And
you don't
love
hear the
your
accent?
Shirt, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
I really love it. This
we just got this. We were in Greece 2 weeks ago, and Jackie O's is that big bar in Mykonos.
Jackie O at a bar?
Jackie O's bar.
Oh, Jackie O's bar.
Hey, guys, what was going on in Mykonos? Because I had friends. I had a friend named Alex who was there about a week and a half ago, too.
Well, it was Gay Pride in Athens. Oh. So we actually went to the islands for a week and then went to Athens for Gay Pride.
How was it? It was
fabulous.
Yes.
I mean, all these Greek men running around. What can go wrong?
Did you go to the bathroom in the street?
And guys, can I just be nasty? They're all penniless because Greece is going bust, right?
No, I thought there was a big problem. I thought that
there was a problem.
Yeah.
There was a problem.
Yes.
I mean, I was being facetious about the sewage in the streets, but I mean,
it's a beautiful city, but it is rather dirty.
Yeah.
A lot of graffiti, very dirty. But honestly, it's actually a very nice
but
city.
Jim, but Jim, you mean visually dirty?
Visually dirty. I'm trash everywhere.
Oh,
but
okay.
Not, we've been to other European cities where we say dirty and it's more like rodents running around. I didn't feel like that way in Athens.
Just unkempt.
Unkempt, yeah. Very, it's an old city, so it's very dusty.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
very
old. Yeah. Did you guys get up to the Acropolis?
We did. We spent a full day touring the sites of the Acropolis, and it was pretty incredible and surreal. You don't realize what you're seeing until you're actually there and you're reading about it and you're actually getting to feel the marble, even though you may get hard at it. But you have to take advantage of it, and it was pretty incredible.
All right, so I don't know how many years ago it was that it was decided they were going to rebuild the Parthenon because it had been blown up. The Turks had been using it as a gunpowder storehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Just imagine the Parthenon, right? Let's put all the gunpowder in there. How far along is that?
It's pretty far along.
I think they started, I want to say the 60s, maybe 70s. It's pretty far along.
And there are a number of buildings that are a part of the Acropolis. So what we may associate as one distinct building, it's actually not the truth. It's a lot of different buildings. And so when we were there, there were actually some smaller buildings that had already been fully completed, and now they're working on the one that we're visually accustomed to seeing.
Well, yeah. The Parthenon's definitely the most famous one, mm-hmm. but the Temple to Athenia was already rebuilt. So then you go there, that's already done, rebuilt.
I have no interest in going to Greece.
I do. Are you serious?
So old.
No. Mykonos, incredible. First of all,
the islands sights, were the islands were incredible. Athens.
The beautiful men.
Very nice. 36 hours max. Okay. The islands, beautiful.
I've heard one day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've heard you do one day.
Yeah. Well, before we get into other travel then, so your company Fagabond, FAGABOND.com. So tell us a little bit about, there's other gay travel sites. You guys specialize in gay travel, not specifically LGBT, is it? Or is it just gay travel?
No, not specifically LGBT. We actually learned that early on. We came out of the gates wanting to be this big LGBT site. But the truth is, it really is a gay travel site. We realized early on, we don't service the B, the T. You know, we don't. The thing that sets our site apart is it is authentic. And we realize, and very early on, we're not, you know, transgender, we don't understand necessarily that market fully. So we said, why are we going out there pretending like we're LGBT when the fact is we don't service that market? So we were gay and lesbian. And then very early on, we're also like, wait a second, we don't really have firsthand knowledge of the lesbian market either. We're going to focus on the gay travel market. So that's,
so this
that's
is what
we
are.
We're two gay guys and we're going to do the gay travel market. Actually, there's four of us involved. So there's four gay guys and is it
just U.S. destinations right now?
It is just U.S. destinations right now, and I don't foresee that changing. That's the other thing I think sets us apart. You know, we really do focus on the U.S. We see that gay men take about 7 trips a year, and 2/3 of those trips are just 2 to 3 days, meaning they're just going away for a quick getaway, mm-hmm. quick weekend trip, and they're in the U.S., and we want to service that. You know, you can get away without hassling around with a passport and take a quick trip like we did today from Philadelphia to New York.
Easy to get to. And we primarily focus on destinations that are known to be gay friendly. We focus on 20 destinations that we know are not problematic when it comes to locations for the gay traveler. We talk about not just gay friendly, but gay celebrating. And it's been proven to be successful.
So what is, so if I was to ask you off, and you both may have different opinions of this. What is the most welcoming gay destination in the U.S.? So if you're a gay man and you decide you wanted to take a week and go somewhere, is there one city that just pops in your mind to say, you know, we've discovered in our work that this one city really is probably the most gay welcoming?
I think you're going to get a different answer.
That's what I'm hoping for.
We certainly, you know, we do focus on right now 20 cities, and that will be growing. But I would say, in traveling the country, I think really Palm Springs is probably the most gay welcoming city. If not gay welcoming, it's like 99% gay population. You just go there and it's like rainbows and unicorns everywhere. It's like gay.
So Mike, what's your opinion?
Well, I feel the same way about San Francisco. I felt the second we got off that plane, and it was open arms and hugs and come on in, we're gay and you're welcome.
It's almost as if San Fran should have like rainbow lays or something like they exactly. do in Hawaii. I'm kind of in Jim's camp.
I don't want any letters from anybody, but I'm going to say this. John knows where I'm going.
Yeah.
I think San Francisco is the most overrated city in this country. I'll just say it.
And you better asterisk it with no letters.
No, but I really do. I think a lot of people, you know, San Francisco, I've been traveling in San Francisco for 25 years. And, you know, there are a lot of other great cities in this country. And San Francisco is a beautiful city. There's great people, great restaurants. But it's, I think, when people have the feeling that it's this gay mecca, there's a lot of other issues with San Francisco that sometimes, I think, for me, knock it out of the top.
I have to fall into Jim's camp in terms of Bob and I traveled to the Springs a lot. Before we bought a home in upstate New York, that was our other home. And I never... To me, it's like it's either, and in fact, friends who live out there, it's the G squared, geriatric or gay. That's all there is to it. And I don't know, I love it out there. And I could, if I had a choice, if someone said you have a choose a plane ticket, Palm Springs or San Francisco, I'd actually pick the Palm Springs ticket.
You know what's funny about San Francisco specifically? I think a lot of gay cities, except for maybe Palm Springs, you know, we say they're gay friendly. And what that really means is there's a district that's gay friendly. And like even San Francisco, yes, it's a well-known gay city, but there are certainly parts of San Francisco that I wouldn't even go to and that may be quote unquote unsafe. And I know that's true for even New York and Philadelphia, mm-hmm. very gay friendly cities and known worldwide as gay friendly cities, but there are certainly areas you wouldn't go to. And that's the thing on our site. We'll show you where we try to talk about, and it's very curated, like where to go, what is truly gay. But Palm Springs, the entire city is gay. Yeah. I mean, really,
from border, anywhere.
Border to border, the thing is gay.
Yeah. Show tunes come out of their air conditioners. It's crazy. It's incredible.
Is there who's the average person that would use your site? So, you know, a lot of other people might use some of the other popular travel sites. What sets you guys apart from us going to one of the other well-known, you know, .com travel sites?
Sure. I think one of the very first things that sets us apart is we are actually a one-stop shop. So through our partnerships, and Mike can talk about this with Orbitz, on our site, you're not only getting the content, and it is, people may not realize this, it's not an API pulling in information. It's very custom, curated, original content. But we also partner with Orbitz, where we offer you the ability to book your travel. So it really, truly becomes a one-stop shop.
What's an API mean?
Like automatically pulling in information. It's an automated program,
okay.
Something. Information, I guess. Anyway, it pulls in automatic information. So some websites set up something to tie into like OutTraveler. I'm just using it as an example.
No, it's a perfect example.
But they'll pull in articles from OutTraveler. We don't do that. We are all custom content. We do have a curated travel news section on the site. So if you go to travel news, and I actually work on that myself, so I do pull in information from other travel outlets or travel news outlets, but I actually read those articles, make sure they are relevant to the cities that we're talking about and relevant to the gay traveler. But I think it's that Orbitz partnership that is really sets us apart.
And it's true. The reason behind Vagabond was about 7 or 8 years ago, Jim and I, we were traveling and we would visit the standard sites that everyone would go to and to try to get the information on what bars to go to. And for example, we took a trip to Vegas and it was my first trip. Jim had been there a number of times. And so I did all my due diligence and had a list of the gay bars that we wanted to visit. And as you know, in Vegas, there's really no bars on the strip. So you're taking a trek out. You're taking a cab ride. And we did, and we went to a place that we read should be a gay night, and it wasn't just not gay. It wasn't even gay friendly. So it was a little bit of a concern. We're in the middle of nowhere, and we're getting the stairs and felt very uncomfortable. And that's where the idea of Vagabond came. You know, we need a site that has relevant, up-to-date information. And not only that, I had been working at the tourism office at the time and had a great relationship with Travelocity and talked with them about an initial partnership of supplying the booking engine for hotels, airfare, tickets and attractions. And it was a great start and gave us a lot of credibility behind the site. Now, since then, Travelocity has been sold off to Expedia and Orbitz bought the certain aspects of it. And now that's how we got our relationship with Orbitz, but still lends us that credibility, great partnership. These are proven accommodations that are gay friendly, and it's just proven to be very successful.
Well, Orbitz has been a partner and sponsor of ours since we started on there. They've been very dedicated, and I guess you guys know Jeff, right?
Yeah, yes. Jeff, and they've been very supportive of ours too. Yes. Even we were thinking, you know, the name might be a little controversial for some people, not for others. They were embraced it from the start and been very supportive of the site.
Yeah, we interviewed Jeff Marsh 2 years ago in Madrid, right, Tim?
Yeah.
And we call him Mr. Gay Orbitz or Mr. Orbitz. Let's talk about the name, actually, because I remember, Jim, years ago when I was still a creative director at my agency here in New York, you shared with me the concept for Vagabond and the logo. And I love the logo because it's got that little hobo stick with the little bandana thing on it. But I remember just staring, thinking, what is my relationship to the word vagabond and to the word fag? And I think that ultimately, and we were talking about it before the broadcast with our producer, Barry, I think it's funny, and I like it, and I like that you can own it. Mm-hmm. So what about the history of the name and how that came about?
It's true. You know, we certainly recognize it can be offensive to some and not to others. We ourselves are gay. We self-identify as gay, and, you know, we've grown up hearing that term, and it was maybe a negative, you know, was a negative term. and decided at some point in our lives, we're not going to take that. We are going to embrace this and use it as our own. And I don't think anyone should have a, you know, a lockup on the English language. So we went to use
true.
It.
True.
Yeah. And much like the word queer, you know, that 50, 60 years ago was a very negative term and is now used in universities for queer studies and is used on popular sites as well. And we feel that, you know, the word fag may be negative, but also some people do embrace it, and some people do want to be self-identified as that, and they use it to empower themselves to say, you know, your words are not going to offend me. So
can we call you fags?
Oh, we call ourselves fag all the time. I think it's one of these things. It's definitely one of these things in gay culture. You know, I don't want to. I don't want to paint a broad stroke here, but in our, you know, I think gays constantly call themselves fags or call their friends fags. It's a term of endearment for us.
Yeah. And we're such a fag. Yeah.
Yeah, and we recognize that some people are offended by it, and that's okay. This site's not for them. That's fine. And you know, we learned that early on.
I wonder. Maybe I don't want to stray too much, but for the gay community, is the use of fags similar to the use of the N-word in the African-American community? Is it okay for us to say it because we're in the community?
Well, I also see it as much as we use it, and if we embrace it even more, then it doesn't become as negative as some people take it. And if we do own it, then that negativity that's surrounded by it starts to dissipate. Also, the name in general, Fagabond, it has a certain tongue-in-cheek type attitude, and that's what the whole site is based on. The information, although it is accurate and it is current, and we make sure that the site is definitely a resource, we try to make sure the content is very tongue-in-cheek.
Well, you know, when I was going back and forth with Jim, it was kind of funny. Spell check or spell correct kept making it vagabond.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And so and finally Jim.
Google's not up with us yet.
So Jim comes back and says, oh, by the way, it's fagabond. I'm like, I know that. And I'm looking, I'm like, oh my God, it changed it to V's.
Every email he sent me, it would be vagabond. I'm like, wait a minute.
You talk about challenges. It's one of the things.
Spell check, auto correct.
Just like every time I write one word, you know, it comes up duck as another word. So it's like,
and I love you, honey, for it.
Are there any new gay destinations on the horizon that people might not have thought of?
You know, when we originally launched, we picked basically the top 20 gay destinations. We had to start from somewhere. We are looking at adding cities, and we're making an effort to really add, I don't want to call them secondary cities, that's not fair to them, but cities that may not be on people's horizons. Mm-hmm. So in the very near future, you will see some cities added. I don't want to give it away who they're going to be. It'd be a big launch, but all you have to do is follow our Twitter account. You can see where we're traveling this summer.
Oh, come on, give us one.
Well, I think, you know.
Nashville.
As a matter of fact, that's where we're going. As a matter of fact, we're going to Nashville next month.
I said that because our producer, Barry, just came back and loved it. He said it was fantastic.
Yeah, Barry, did you
thought it was gay welcoming?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't go to any specifically like a gay bar or anything, but it's definitely a progressive city. I feel like anything that's that focused on art and music and actually has a lot of people in general moving there. They say it's kind of the next Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. In terms of the music. I think that general attitude and openness and progressiveness translates well into just the general social climate of the city. And yeah, it's a great time. Yeah. So
is country music, I mean, Nashville's kind of the...
Oh yeah, you know what? There was a recent controversy about a band called Little Big Town has a song called Girl Crush.
Yes.
And it is not a gay song at all.
No. It's about an affair.
Yeah, and it's about the other woman and how she feels about it. It's actually really funny and really well done, and most of their songs are like that. But there was a huge controversy of people who only heard the name of the song.
Yeah.
But a lot of people in the music industry stood really firmly behind the band and the song, and it was just like smaller markets that were like, oh, no, we're not going to play this song anymore. Yeah. But everybody else really stood behind them, so I do feel like they are being, in general, more progressive. And then you also see on shows like Nashville, there are gay themes and gay issues being tackled. So, yeah,
and
I think
country music's
absolutely
huge with the LGBT community. I mean, country music is really big. I mean, I can't tell you how many country bars in Texas and you know, gay country bars in Minnesota and in Oregon, different places I live.
Yeah. Well, who doesn't love a cowboy?
Marlboro Man. Right?
There you go. Especially if they're courteous.
Do you like country music, John?
I like some country music. Yeah.
Okay.
And this thing that Barry was talking about, what is it? Little
Big Town.
They were on CBS Morning Show last week, and they talked about how the woman said, she said, you know, I can't understand mothers in cars who cry out like, how dare our kids listen to this music? She goes, why don't you pull the car over and explain to the children what the lyric means about infidelity, about, you know, as opposed to just whitewashing it. Now, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
I feel as if with country music, there's so much of it that's crossing into mainstream. And yeah. Taylor Swift, perfect example, right? I mean, there's that overlap. And you know, what you were saying about Nashville being a progressive city, we're hearing that as well. And that you don't necessarily have to visit a gay bar to feel welcome. And I attribute that somewhat to Vegas. You know, there are certainly gay bars, but all the casinos are very welcome. Their ad campaign is amazing all over Las Vegas, and we're feeling a lot of that information with Nashville as well.
Now, Nashville is one of the little gems that have popped out as a possible new vagabond destination. But I was going to go back to what you said when we think of cities, we think of primary, secondary, tertiary, and usually, I believe, we could just simply say it's not that the city has lacks inequalities. It's usually population density.
Yep.
So you have your major urban areas, and then you have, from a density point of view, the next level, which is not as dense, but equally as robust. Like, would you ever look at, like, a St. Louis?
We would look at St. Louis. Maybe to surprise you, we're actually looking at, like, something like Erie, Pennsylvania, which is even smaller than St. Louis, but has a very, very popular... It has a really emerging art scene.
Let us know all about it.
It's super close to get over to Toronto, so I mean, you know, day trip out. It's a place that I visited and I've actually liked it. Yeah,
really. That's okay. But you want to go there, John? We'll head on our way to Pittsburgh.
All right. I was going to ask, like, how close is it to Pittsburgh?
Well, it's north.
That's north. It's like north. What, 2 hours north?
Yeah. All that, we could do that. Can do that.
It's a drive. It's a short drive.
Hey, look, I haven't even been to Ogunquit yet. We are going to do a road trip, I think. We're setting dates.
Oh,
September.
I did Ogunquit in Labor Day last year.
How'd you like it?
I loved it. I actually did a multi-day trip. So I went to Boston. We stayed in New Hampshire and Portsmouth, and then Ogunquit. I loved it.
We're going to do Ogunquit, P-Town, Rehoboth, right?
Yeah. Boom, boom, boom.
Oh, you're just going to hit them all up. Go to Asbury Park, too. You got the whole got the whole Eastern Seaboard.
We can stop there with the restroom.
Guys, how about the, you know...
You, the Stone Pony.
When I look at the Vagabond site and I look at the map, which you can click on for the different destinations, clearly we're looking at Eastern, you know, East-West Coast stuff. Mm-hmm. And Nashville would change that. But how about starting to fill in some of the middle? Because there's got to be...
That's one of our things we look at in consideration. Because you are right. It's very border. It's mostly East Coast. And even otherwise, it's border states. We are looking at the middle. So I can't promise anything, but...
Places like
Louisville, Kentucky.
Columbus, Ohio, yeah. Cincinnati.
Like, Louisville is actually a pretty cool city. And we've been exploring it for the gay scene. But we're not quite there yet to put them on the site and say, truly, like, go here and you can make this a full three, four-day trip.
So do you guys actually go experience the whole city then, so you make sure of that? Because
we
talked about...
Absolutely. Right. Well, there's four of us in total, actually, that work on the site. So you have me and Mike, the co-owners. But we do have an editor and a writer. And out of the four of us, yes, we do.
So someone will go and make sure this bar is still here, this hotel's as good as they say, this is...
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well, because we also fear those cities that have approached us about being on the site, and... They just think putting that flag up there makes them gay friendly when it's truly not. They may have some gay friendly aspects, but for example, there's a city in Texas that wanted us to include them on the site, and we don't feel that they're there yet. And we don't want to jump the gun. We don't feel comfortable putting something on our site that truly isn't gay celebrating.
So Tim and I were in Detroit a couple weeks ago for Motor City Pride. We had a great time, a surprising time, because I had not been to Detroit in 22, 23 years. Tim had been there a number of times. Actually, Tim was there for successive auto shows at the Cobo Center, and so he's seen the city change and transform. Yeah. But, you know, Tim was visiting friends and acquaintances that live in Detroit that are in the auto industry, and our sales guy, Ed, and I had about 3 or 4 hours to kill before we were going to meet up with Tim again. And so he said, hey, let's go to the gay neighborhood. I'm like, then all the gayborhoods for Detroit are actually out. you know, it's 10 miles this way, 8 miles. But we did find a bar in the downtown area, and it's well known. It's called the Temple Bar, and apparently it's LGBT, but everybody's welcome. And it was, we had the most fun couple of hours talking to the bartender and this older gentleman, the older black gay guy that came in. And he was filled with information, and it just was fascinating. So I think that you can find cool gay in a lot of places,
what
right?
What we do, and you know, this is, it's very much the four of us working on this and picking the cities. But when we travel, like we go to Key West every year, it's no surprise, you follow our site, you'll see we're in Key West all the time. If we hear enough critical mass about a location like Detroit, right, we'll hear it's gay friendly. If we hear that enough, then we'll make it a point to go explore it, one of the four of us, and to see if it really does deserve to be on the site. Because we do get emails all the time, cities asking us, you know, can we pay you to be on the site? No.
Interesting.
Can we be on the site? We have to really understand, we have to really feel that it's gay friendly, gay welcoming, gay celebrating, whatever you want to call it, and then you can be on the site. So when it comes to a place like Nashville, we kept hearing Nashville, Nashville, Nashville. We went to, you know, in Key West, we met some guys that actually own a gay bar in Nashville. Finally, we said, we have to check out Nashville. Mm-hmm. So we're going to do it.
Critical
we're going to do
mass.
It in August, see what happens.
Well, to that point, let's go down to Arizona, or out to Arizona, and welcome Alan to the focus group. Alan, welcome to the show today. What do you have for our Fagabond guys?
Hi, Fagabond.
Hello.
Hi, Alan.
I'm a Fagawatch. Hello. I'm actually a flight attendant, so I travel around internationally and domestically, and of course I'm looking for my radar to see how gay-friendly a city is. And I was just wondering, I think the site's fabulous, and I wondered what you, actually your criteria that you guys based your gay-friendliness on when you go to a city or an establishment or a business.
Well, thank you for checking out the site, and thank you for the compliment. You know, it's not as scientific as you would think. We don't have a, you know,
scorecard
right. That says this meets this criteria and it's gay-friendly. It's something along the lines of, you know, we have to go visit it. We have to see it firsthand. We do look at, you know, crime as a factor. We look at how many bars, and not necessarily, you know, the quantity. It doesn't have to be 100 gay bars. Is there at least places for gays to go? And if it isn't necessarily a gay bar, is there gay welcoming bars?
Mm-hmm.
We did talk about gay celebrating. I know destinations across the country have these, you know, spend lots of money on ad campaigns and to let you know they're gay friendly. But really, are they truly like, you know, can you feel it in the people? Is the population there really welcoming? And when we go to places like when you, and you may experience this or not, but when we check into a hotel even, it's like, you know, are they asking if we want two beds, you know, for me and my brother? When we're out dancing.
It happens more than you'd think.
Yeah, when we're, you know, if we choose to hold hands, are we getting looks? If we're dancing together, are we getting stares? And it's not, you know, not just because of our good moves. Are people looking at us like we're crazy? And we,
right.
You know, that's kind of what we're looking for. And to see, is it really, you know, gay welcoming?
Mm-hmm.
Sure, absolutely. I think it's more than just can I get laid in this town and is there a Liza Minnelli drag show?
Yeah. Although there's nothing wrong with a drag show. We do love drag shows.
Oh my God. Alan, you've got some high standards there. When you're shopping cities, there's better be a Liza.
Liza's top shelf.
Yeah.
And also, is there enough to do? You know, is there enough in the culture? Is there enough to actually make it a trip, at least worth a 36-hour trip, you know? Not something you're going to stop by for 4 hours, look at something, and leave. Like, are you actually going to stay over and experience the culture, the food, the people?
And it sounds like Alan wants to experience some of the people, so that's fine. How is Grindr operating in some of these other cities?
Yeah, you Fagabond needs to start telling us how the different carriers are doing, too. I got AT&T coverage by Verizon. My Grindr was down. And hey, Alan, I want to thank you for your call this afternoon. Please travel safe and have a great weekend.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Bye-bye.
You know, you're talking about Vegas, but I got to say, Grindr really sucked when I was in Vegas last year. So
none of those
casinos.
If you're in a casino, they better, if they don't have repeaters up, you're not getting cell signal.
They don't want you on your cell phone. They want you gambling.
I don't want
you
on the cell phone. In the casino.
It doesn't matter. That was not the issue. The issue was like, you know, it's supposed to be the city where you can do whatever the hell you want.
No.
Grindr was dead. It was
bullshit. More importantly, how was Scruff?
You know, I didn't use Scruff at the time, and I feel bad Is there another one?
Oh, that's the one I'm thinking
Growler.
Of. Someone mentioned Growler to me the other day. So then they described it this way. They said, what's the other one? Grindr is for shade. Like, this is exactly how they said it, so don't shoot me. They said Grindr was for the highly manicured, shaved, and plucked and tweezed, but you're never going to get laid, gay guy. Scruff was for people that were slightly dirty, meaning they had, like, literally, like, they hadn't shaved, but they were kind of plucked and tweezed and manicured, but maybe you could. And then growler was where all the action was. And I was like, the distinctions were so...
Well, there's also jacked. So if you want an athlete...
Should I be taking notes?
Oh, really? Seriously? Jacked?
Yeah. There's another one, jacked, that's, you know, for the athletic crowd. And then in Europe...
Hornet.
Although we Hornet? Primarily do focus on U.S., but there's Hornet.
Whoa. Hornet?
Hornet.
Yeah. Like the bee, bzzz, yes. Like a little Hornet.
Yes, mop. Like a little Hornet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hornet.
You'll get stung.
Once again, another thing John didn't come up with. How come you didn't come up with one of these?
Why, my mind, Tim, how would I ever have come up with an app like this when I am obsessed with science fiction, cycling?
Well, but I'm not making any money. I want an app.
Maybe you need phone for sci-fi.
Guys, every month I get this. There should be an app for gays that are, yeah.
I'll tell you one thing. When years ago, you and I were in P-Town, you're wandering with one of those little digital cameras making a little movie all the way down Commercial Street. What happened to Periscope? That's right. You could have come up with Periscope. All I'm saying is he's way ahead on the tech world, yet we don't invent anything, and he and I are still, you know, it's here on a weekend trying to make a buck.
We're still chopping rocks in the quarry of PowQ, right?
Yeah. Still here, you know, .. Well, listen, so where can people find you guys?
Well, they can find us on the web, vagabond.com.
Right, so it's Vagabond,
F-A-G-A.
BOND.com. We're also on Twitter. We're very active on Twitter. Vagabond, at Vagabond, FAGABOND. We do have a newsletter sign up. People, we do communicate biweekly with our consumers. So go to the site, sign up to the newsletter. You'll hear what's coming up.
Can you track where most people are coming from?
We actually do track where most people are coming from a little tool called Google Analytics.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything you could share with us on that would be enlightening, or are you keeping that all proprietary?
No, I'm more than willing to share. It's not surprising. It's the big gay populations of, like, New York, mostly eastern cities, so New York, Philadelphia. We actually do get a lot of visitors from the Miami-Dade area.
Interesting. Interesting.
Which is cool. And then we also do track not only where people are coming from, but what they're looking for. So, you know, we did track our top three cities, which were Key West. Rehoboth Beach actually came up second.
Rehoboth, wow.
Austin, yes. Austin, Texas, third.
Before we let you go, should we take another call?
Sure.
All right, let's go to, I'm guessing, Angie, it's Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the beautiful city of L.A. and welcome Judy to the focus group. Judy, you have a suggestion for our Vagabond founders.
Yes, I do. I live in Los Angeles now, but I did live in Birmingham, Alabama for 12 years, and it is a very gay-friendly city, and it has excellent music and amazing restaurants. There's a couple of them that win James Beard awards, you know, on a regular basis.
So from what you've heard from Jim and Mark, that you would say that the fabric of the city is very welcoming.
Very welcoming. I hate to say this because I was new there. I'd moved from L.A. lived there for 12 years, and I did come back to L.A. because of family matters, not because of any other reason. But I was shocked at how welcoming it was.
See, now guys, I think you need to put this on the list of destinations to visit. Birmingham, L.A. And Judy, I want to thank you for your call because it's one of those things that when I hear it, I'm like, no way. And yet Judy describes it as all the touch points you guys are hitting on. So
Judy, I have to admit, I've never been there. Mike has never been there. But we actually have heard it was a place that we should visit. We have a very good friend who's a travel writer, not a gay travel writer, but a travel writer for Travel and the Travel Channel, who said the same exact thing. It's a place that we should see for the LGBT side of the city.
And this is the information that we want to hear. That's why on Vagabond.com, we have the opportunity for viewers to submit some comments.
Suggestions,
yeah. Exactly. And Birmingham, I mean, it could certainly be on our radar.
Very cool.
And
hey,
make sure you go to the downtown area. I mean, really, honestly, once you kind of get out of the inner sphere there of the downtown, it takes on a different tone. But the downtown is very happening. It's really made an amazing comeback, and it's there's tons to do.
Downtown Birmingham, Excellent. Alabama. Great. Hey, Judy, I want to thank you for your call. Please be safe on the road today and have a great weekend.
Well, if anyone from
thank you guys.
Anyone from Birmingham CVB is listening, don't hesitate to contact us on our website, vagabond.com.
Convention and Visitors Bureau.
I was trying to look in old notes, but wasn't last week, because sometimes we forget. I think Birmingham was one of the hot cities to move to.
It was one of the top cities.
Yeah. So was Nashville.
Yeah, I definitely heard about Nashville. This is one thing that may surprise people. It really is the four of us who are pulling the information. You know, we're not funded from a VC, so we are doing this all ourselves. We are looking for the information. So when people send in tips, it actually saves us a lot of time and of course, money. So, you know, if anyone does have tips, please send them our way.
Well, if you guys are going to go to Birmingham, John and I will join you down there.
I think we should do a focus group.
That'd be fun.
Vagabond. Focus group in Vagabond.
Yes.
Going to Birmingham,
I got
Alabama.
My little stick and I got my little bag.
Can't get married,
thing.
Though. They're going to stop marriages in Alabama,
yeah,
right, John?
We heard earlier that was happening. Yeah.
So Jim Werner, Mike Sheridan from Vagabond, go to F-A-G-A-B-O-N-D, vagabond.com, and learn more. And look for some great destinations for the gay traveler, particularly here in the United States. We want to thank you for joining us today on the Focus
Group. Yeah, guys, really. Thank you.
And you guys have a happy Pride. You guys staying around New York City?
We are going to stay around a little bit.
Cool. Top of the Pride.
Hey, it's the Focus Group with Tim Bennett and John Nash. We'll be right back. We're going to take a little break, then we'll do Tim's List. So stay with us. To the bug. You put the boom.